everybody. Welcome to Mogul Talk with Darcell Lari, where success is just a byproduct of who we are. It's your girl, your host, Darcell, where every week I'll be bringing you a Mogul Minute of inspiration, new topics, and surprise guests. Stay tuned. It's time for your Mogul Minute of inspiration. Can I get a drum roll, please? And today's Mogul Minute, I'm going to pull out my phone for this one, y'all. Today's Mogul Minute is, things are never quite as scary when you've got a best friend. I'm going to say that again. Things are never quite as scary when you've got a best friend. That's by Bill Watterson. And the reason why I chose that quote for today, because on today's episode, we're going to be talking about solid friendships and what is a friend, right? And sometimes there's challenging times that we experience in life, and there's nothing better than going through a scary time with a solid friend. And I know in my own personal life, I have had some amazing, solid friends that helped me through some very scary times. And I want to encourage each and every one of you that if you are going through something, do not suffer in silence. Make sure that you talk to somebody. It doesn't, sometimes the best therapists can be our friends. Sometimes we may not want to be a burden to other people. We may not want to say something or say what we're going through. I know many times in my life I have walked through life putting up, a mask, and I didn't want people to know that I was suffering or I was hurting. But it's so much better when I got the chance to free myself and say, you know what, I'm actually going to share this with a friend and see how they respond to it. And it was so much easier going through a scary situation or a challenging situation with a friend that can encourage me, a friend that can pray with me, a friend that can love on me. And I want to just encourage each and every one of you, don't go through life alone. Go through life with friends. Go through life finding solid friendships, and go through life being a solid friend. And that was your Mogul Minute of inspiration. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Mogul Talk with Darcell Lari. It's your girl Darcell, and we're back for another episode. And on today's episode, we have a special guest, my friend, Vina Kanoa. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Vina is a fellow podcaster. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Tequila in Your Tea. Make sure you subscribe.
And make sure you check out the episode where Darcell comes on as a guest.
Yes, absolutely. I was on her podcast and now she's on mine. So I'm so, so excited. You're also a marketing professional. She's also Miss Do-It-All. So Vina does everything. In real life, if I need my hair done, if I need an emergency dress, fashion emergency thing, Vina's my girl. I can go to her, I can count on her, and you are Miss Do-It-All. You're great at so many things, so we can't limit you on just those two titles, so...
Well, I think those are the perks of friendship, that you can utilize each other's strengths and support each other in your weaknesses. And so it just so happens I had to self-teach quite a few things. So, if I can share a little bit of it, then usually I will. And so I'm always happy to be there.
Yeah, I'm happy that you've always been there. So thank you. And today's episode actually is on having solid friendships. Yeah. And so I feel like you're the perfect person to have on for this episode because you have been a solid friend. So through very difficult seasons, through emergencies, through whatever I needed, I feel like you've been a solid friend. So I'm so happy to have you on.
Aw, thanks. I definitely try, and I know that it takes two friends to have a solid friendship. So yes. I'm really happy that you would have me on for this episode and consider me a friend the way I consider you a friend.
Yay. Well, speaking of that, so you said it takes two people to be a solid friend or have a solid friendship. Can you tell me what your definition of a friend is?
Yeah. For me, a solid friend is someone who can be there through thick and thin. And obviously that's super cliche. But yeah. It's that idea that when good things happen, bad things happen, unknown things happen in between everything, mm-hmm. that person will at least try to be there for you, and then vice versa, where it's not one-sided and where it's not a toxic relationship where either someone's giving too much, taking too much, or anything in between, but you really can grow with each other.
Absolutely.
And I think that sometimes it's a little harder to find than we would like. And everyone's at different levels of growing. Mm-hmm. But as long as both parties are really like putting in the effort to see that friendship grow and to really be there and also just straight up care.
Yeah.
To me, that's a solid friendship.
Yeah. So you said a couple things that I want to pull out. But before we get there, I agree with your definition. I feel like a friendship, a solid friendship, is mutually beneficial. It's reciprocated. I think there's, like you said, keyword effort. Yeah. I think that it's seeing people through different seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I think sometimes we're used to how we met a person and we think that that person is supposed to stay the same throughout the rest of their life, you know? And I'm like, I know I've changed so much. I've grown so much. And I know you can speak to your own life. You've grown so much that I think a friend is supposed to see you through the ebbs and flows of life. And I had to learn, I would say, if those friends could not grow with me, then I would have to keep them in a category, because I feel like let's say if it, like, you know, there are certain friends that I, in my clubbing days, if you're still there and I'm not, then I have to just, we still could be cool.
Yeah.
I may not count on you for the tough times, but you'll be that person when I'm thinking of going out, right? Mm-hmm. I know who to call, but you won't be something outside of that. And I think there's levels to friendship, you know? Mm-hmm. There's the friends that you can kiki with. There's the friends that could be your confidants. And then there's the friends that can be both. And I think it's hard to find the friends that can be both, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm a type of person, and I know in a lot in our conversations, you know, we like to have deep conversations. And so I'm a friend that I want to laugh, but I also want to be able to go deep and feel safe. And I think that's kind of like what a solid friend means to me. But I love how you mentioned effort. Do you consider a friend, so there's this whole thing that low maintenance friendships, do you consider that person a friend if it's low maintenance? So meaning that they only see you when they see you, but you pick up where you left off, you know?
I think that low maintenance friendships have their place.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, a lot of low maintenance friendships, like truly low maintenance friendships, I wouldn't consider friendships. I consider them more acquaintances.
Yeah.
And sometimes people that I have been really good friends with at one point have made it to more the acquaintance space. And not because it's not that they don't care.
Yeah.
But if you or them are a little too busy to check in when things are awry, then, you know, you low maintenance, because I'm not taking on your maintenance. I'm not really trying to help you when it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there are lots of friends that I can just pick it up with. But if I also say, like, hey, I'm having an emergency, they'll be right there. Like,
yeah.
There's a bit of in between here for this. But I do think that part of a good friendship is not requiring you to be low maintenance. If you require me to be low maintenance or vice versa, that's a problem. At the same time, you know, sometimes our high maintenance friends are just takers.
So, that's true.
So, you know, there's a bit of balance. And that's the tricky part. The tricky part is finding the balance. Mm-hmm. What's actually healthy and what's not.
Yeah.
And then also what's healthy for you. Because if you know you're someone who can be run over easily, checking certain things, and then also being more vocal, so your friends who are a little bit more balanced or even more so takers have the opportunity to give back.
Yeah.
So So yeah, I don't necessarily subscribe to low maintenance friendships, but I do think that the key takeaway from that type of friendship is that there's very little judgment,
yeah,
good or bad or in between. That you can bring me all of your mess, but you can also bring me all of your good. You can see me every day or you can see me once a year, and mm-hmm. we will still make sure to put each other in that priority spot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I like what you said, like how some low maintenance friends are, if there's an emergency, they got you. Mm-hmm. So there's like different types of low maintenance friends, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the low maintenance friends that I see you when I see you. And then there's the low maintenance friends that even though life has brought you guys further apart in distance, mm-hmm. you're not further apart in each other's heart. Like you can really count on them. And I definitely feel like I have some friends that I haven't seen in a while. But if I was like, hey, girl, I'm really going through it, they would be there, no questions asked. Like, yeah. you know. But even in that, I feel like as I've gotten older, I wanted to really be intentional on how I was as a friend, meaning checking in more, you know, whether that's text, whether that's, you know, something inspirational, sending a quote or something, whether that's calling. I think I have tried to be a better friend. I'm still working on being a better friend, but I feel like I have people in my life that I'm checking in on a weekly basis, and there may be people I'm checking in on a monthly basis, but I feel like I try to do my due diligence of like checking in, because I know people have silent battles. I know people go through things, and they, you know, I used to be one of them who, you know, even in whether in recent seasons or even like when I was younger, I would suffer in silence, you know, because I yeah. felt like I didn't want to be a burden to anyone. And I had to learn that I also had to allow people to be a solid friend to me. So not only did I have to learn how to be a solid friend, but I also had to learn to allow solid friends in my life, people who genuinely wanted to be there and not just ignoring their call, but like, no, allowing that person in. So do you feel like, what was your process of, I guess, of both becoming a solid friend and then also allowing people to be there for you?
That's such a good question, mostly because like, I think the process was learning the hard way. Mm-hmm. And in both spaces where I remember, especially as a kid growing up, I was mad bossy. Like you
I'm
could
still bossy.
Never get it right. Like you're always doing things out of order. And I swear my friends at the time were like, yo, chill out. Can I please just like have fun? Or you do not have to give me the solution to everything. Sometimes yeah. I just want you to hear. And I had to learn that the hard mm-hmm. way where, you know, they're just like, ah, well, I didn't tell you because mm-hmm. I felt as though, you know, you would just not listen, but try to like fix everything. And I had to learn like how to play that space. But then on the other side, I've had tons of friendships where I either expected them to be open and honest with me if something was off, or I expected for when I said, hey, here's my time to reach out for help, they mm-hmm. would, or at least try to,
right.
and they didn't. If anything, they might have ran away or they just stopped talking to me entirely. Mm-hmm. And so you learn the hard way that way when you get your heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the process, unfortunately, is to just deal with the mess and yeah. don't expect perfection. Don't expect, and I feel like we might have like talked about this before, but it's like, don't expect for someone to be your friend for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And don't expect your friend to have to respond a certain way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to go through things where you're going to have a friend that says, I have no clue what to do. I don't know what to say.
But I'm here.
But I'll be here.
Yeah.
And that's enough. And
yeah,
I think lowering some of those expectations allowed me to better gauge like, oh, you can't be there for me. So,
mm-hmm.
all right, I'm going to yeah. put you in acquaintance space and we're going to have fun. We're going to kiki. We'll get drinks every once in a while. But will I tell you about my life? Will I entrust, you know, things that I have questions about or look for advice from you? Probably not.
Right.
Just keep it fun and maybe work related. And we'll just talk about, you know, networks and things like that.
Right.
So I would just always say, like, the process is the process.
Yeah. I love what you said, that the expectations piece.
Yeah.
I really had to learn that. Because I feel like I have been gifted with the encourager spirit and trying to say the right things or, you know, whatever those things. And I feel like what comes very natural and easy to me does not come natural to everyone else.
Nope.
And so I used to be like so frustrated that if I shared something deep with someone, they didn't have the same reaction that I would for them. Like they, you know, so I used to be really, really frustrated that, and I had to learn, Darcelle, you can't expect you out of someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and so I love that you mentioned that, like having to give grace. And as we mentioned before, like every friend can't be everything.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's like putting people in categories, right? You're my Kiki friend. You're my business friends. You know, you're my confidant friends, or you may find that all wrapped in one person. But I think, you know, learning what you can expect from people being themselves.
Yes.
Because they, you don't want them to be something that they're not. And then I love that you also mentioned that sometimes the best thing that someone can do for you is just sit with you. Even if they don't have the right words to say, you know, is just sit with you. Whether someone passes in their family, there are no right words to say, but just sitting with you, right? You know, whether it's, you know, going through a very challenging season, you know, in some, like for me, you know, going through a divorce, like having people just sit with me or just say, Darcelle, I'm here.
Yeah.
I think that is enough, but people, you know, people have to show up authentically to who they are, you know?
It's true. And I think just to kind of piggyback on that, like, I remember when you were first deciding to, you know, like share with me and share with some of our other people that we talk to on a regular basis, like what was going on for real. We were like, whoa, wait a minute, time out. There's no way you should be going through this alone for one. But then two, that some of the things that us as friends, we would do is advocate for you to you. When you think that like, oh, maybe it's okay to deal with this or tolerate that. And of course, we always got that one friend to just hype you up for anything. Okay, I'll look like I'm sick, brown paper bag. Oh, you still look cute, girl. No.
Right, not that.
Just like, no, you don't have to endure certain things.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to tolerate this. Or here's some self-help book or some educational tool that might help get you through this, instead of you really kind of just wallowing in this not only new but painful thing.
Yeah.
So...
And even in that, you referred your therapist to me.
Yeah.
So me opening up to you, I was like, I have a therapist, but I'm thinking about another one. And you like, so like me sharing does do, it's helpful.
It is.
Right. So like not suffering in silence is helpful if you want solid friendships, because it allows someone else to step in, give you resources, be there for you, support you, you know, or tell you when you, things that you shouldn't tolerate, you know, and tell you your, remind you of your value.
Yeah.
All of those things are super important.
And I know for me, that's always a struggle.
Yeah.
And that is also what allows me to vouch for how you always try to reach out. 'Cause a lot of times, I think I've been wired or at least programmed to think that you go through everything until you know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
That you can wrap it up in a pretty bow and say that like, oh, by God's grace, we made it through X. Okay. Right. Like, no. Sometimes you just need to take a risk and like be open and honest with one or two people that can really kind of counsel you or at least support you through things. And either between having shared things with people and then been either harshly like judged or someone just saying like, I don't know what to do, so I'm gonna run.
Yeah.
Or vice versa, or the opposite, where I just shared nothing and then someone's been upset with me. Right. They're like, why did you tell me? And it's because I don't know how to share without feeling like a burden.
Yeah.
And it always takes that balance in a friendship where I know you enough to know that, like, you're not going to judge me, but you know me enough to know that sometimes I'm not going to outright say things or think of saying things.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, say, hey, what's going on with you? And then I'm like, oh, there's actually a lot going on. Like, I'm just running through it, but there's actually a few things going on. And, you know, I think this might be a good time to share with you. So I really appreciate that about our friendship, where you do take that opportunity to check in a way where I would usually give and check in to everyone else, but when's the last time I took temperature for me?
right, because I think it's also learning that balance for yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think you're such a giver. You really, really are. You give to so many people because you are so amazing. And we all see your value. And we all think, oh my gosh, Vina could do this, Vina could do that. Like, you're good at everything. And you're honestly just a solid person to be around. Like, you're, you know, someone who can pray with you, someone who can laugh and make fun of things and enjoy conversation, like good conversation. So you are like a solid person that people just gravitate towards you and want to be around you. And what ends up happening, because you're so awesome, people are taking and you're not allowing yourself to be filled up. So I think part of being a solid friend is you also need to be that solid friend to yourself, you know, and making sure that you're taking care of you. Because how can you pour from an empty cup? You know, and I think so many people, because they don't want to be burdens, it's easier to be there for everybody else. Because it takes the pressure off of people really having to be there for me, you know? And I had to really learn that. Like, I open up about a lot now because I'm like, all right, y'all want it? Here it goes. You know, now I don't know what you're going to do with it, here you go. You know, because I genuinely don't want to hold it in anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, being, you know, Christians, I feel like the enemy uses that. Mm. He uses your omission to start playing with your thoughts and your mind on, oh, they really don't want to be there for you. Oh, you don't really have any friends. Oh, this or that. Like, he starts telling you these lies. But the way to best defeat the enemy is to open our mouth. And I had to learn, Darcelle, just reach out. And if they receive it, they receive it. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah.
But we're going to silence the enemy, you know?
Mm. You really preaching over there, for sure.
Hey.
But if you compliment me anymore, I'm going to run.
I know, it makes you uncomfortable. Like, compliments.
Like, okay, great. But amazing? Like, meh, all right, good. It's such a thing, but at the same time, like, I hear you wholeheartedly, because I have to tell myself, like, it's okay to say no to some things. That as much as I would love to support people and be there for them all the time, that it's like, I have to take an educated no. I'm not going to say no out of the sake of, like, really putting you in an odd position, but just like, all right, Lord, do I need to be their rescue today?
Yeah.
Do I need to jump up? No. Okay. You have something else for them, or they're okay. That's not a true emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Then I need this time right now for me to, like, put in, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that took practice. Technically, being a better friend to myself took practice, because in the inverse, a lot of the things that you were saying about me, about being, oh, such a good friend, if you are too good of a friend, you never allow that person to grow. If you are always there them, if you're always filling in the gap, then are you now their spouse? Are you now their enabling savior? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you sometimes have to leave room for their life and their growth. Mm. And that is something I had to really, like, work on and teach myself, because when you experience people not being there for you, for some reason you feel like everyone's alone.
Right, right.
And then you realize, like, oh no, they have family that show that they have mm-hmm. these other spaces. Like, I don't need to break my back to be there for them all yeah. the time. So let's be a good friend to me and say, soft no. If it's really mm-hmm. an emergency, I can be there. But soft no today. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are things available to you. Right. And let me check in. Did everything work out? Okay, great. Amen. Right. So this was a good no. And if mm-hmm. it didn't work out, okay, great. I can be there in 15. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
So
I think yeah. it's gauging the circumstance, right? Yeah. Like you said, is this an emergency? Is this just them talking about the same guy for the 20,000th time that they will never leave? Oh. And I'm like, all right. I've heard this story 20,000 times. I'm going to skip on the 20,001 time, you know? Is it that, or is it they just need something from me? You know, I think it's gauging what, you know, what we can be available for and what we can't.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, I'll listen for the, you know, 20,001 time. But I think it's just really... like you said, finding what that is for you, that happy medium for you.
Yeah.
Now, talking about solid friendships and being a solid friend to ourselves and finding a solid friend in our lives or having multiple solid friends, have you ever lost a solid friend, whether in whether you had to say no and that was a final no, or just lost a solid friend because you outgrew them, or...
Man, I feel like when I think about it fully, all of the quote solid friends that I really thought I had and lost,
mm-hmm.
I had to then admit to myself later that they were never a solid friend, but I propped them up to be.
That's good.
And when you take that step back and you look at all the times you were really there for them,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't reciprocated. And I remember the first time that really, really set in for me. I didn't see it on my own, but I had a friend that I would commute to.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I did not drive, but she lived at least 2.5 hours away by bus. Mm. And that's if I already took another 2.5 hour commute to that bus line.
Oh, wow.
She lived out in the suburbs. It was not close. But she drove, and I was about 30 to 40 minutes from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a boyfriend that was about 10 to 15 minutes from where I was. And she would go and see that boyfriend maybe 4 or 5 times within a 6-month period.
Mm-hmm.
She would see him frequently,
mm-hmm.
but she would never take a few minutes to stop through and see me.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when I took time and took this 5-hour bus ride. 5-hour
trip, yeah.
One way to go see her.
Wow.
And a relative at the time was saying, like, I know that you're saying this person is your best bud.
Right.
But they aren't. Mm. I was like, what do you mean? Blah, blah, blah. They're just busy. Da, da, da. She's like, if they were such a good friend, they would make time for you.
Yeah.
You are busy. You can't even drive. And yet still somehow you find time to get to them.
Mm.
I don't think that this is an even friendship. And I thought about it for a little while, and I said, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And then a situation came up where I don't know if they decided that there was a big miscommunication or something, but they just stopped talking to me, like radio silence. And I was like, we didn't argue. There was nothing to like just say, like there was a definite reason.
Yeah.
But they just stopped talking to me. And I was like, oh, okay. That was the evidence that I needed.
Right.
And I think it hit harder because there were some friendships that I knew were solid. Where, again, you know, someone that didn't drive, but they would make sure they found a way to get to me.
Right.
2 hours away, 3 hours away, and they would still come see me. And some of those solid friendships I lost not because of anything other than they died.
Right.
So... yeah, I do know that whatever you're thinking about, like, oh, I lost a solid friendship, you do have to evaluate. Because sometimes they weren't a solid friend, or you weren't the solid friend.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what's happening, but something was out of balance.
Yeah, that's facts. Goes back to my definition of a solid friend is it like reciprocates.
Yeah.
It's mutually beneficial. And I remember being the person that was always reaching out to people. Mm. And I'm like, let me go and see if they actually reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I gotta go.
I mean, you always have to have one little sound bite, right?
Right, right. But yeah, I definitely go back and going back to like having a mutually beneficial relationship or friendship, and feeling like I would always reach out, but they never did. So I was being the friend, and I'm like, okay, if I'm always reaching out, time goes by and I'm not on their mind to reach out to, is that a friend? You know,
yeah.
I had to learn that, that, you know, like you said, people who I've called friends, and I'm like, well, dang, I don't know if it's really a friendship or more so, hey, it's cool that you reach out, Darcel. Thank you for reaching out. But, you know, it's not necessarily mutual. So I had to kind of learn through that and learn, hey, maybe we're just acquaintances, mm-hmm. you know, and that's okay. And I think for like what you were saying, sometimes we genuinely put people or prop people up on this pedestal, maybe because we have a good time with them when we're around them.
Yep.
But a good time doesn't mean that they're a solid friend. I've had people who, through some of my most challenging seasons, you know, did not reach out. So I think that's always hard when you go through, when you have people that you think or you consider or you call friends. But when it comes down to, you know, reaching out through a very challenging season, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
I've had, I think also when it comes to friendships, friends, true friends, solid friends hold you down when you're not in the room. So 100%. if someone is mentioning your name and they are able to entertain that conversation, that's where I have to put the question mark about you, because it should, that conversation, if you're in the room, that conversation should have been brought to a halt immediately, because you're like, oh, no, you're not going to talk about my friend like that. And if anything, you need to go tell her to her face because we ain't about to talk behind her back. Like, ooh. I think those, when I think about friends and like friends over the years and losing friends, I've lost friends in that way where I found out they were in certain rooms and, you know, or I saw that they didn't show up, you know, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'll say hi. I'll be cordial. But you not on my level no more, sis.
Like, ooh, she threw a sis. Oh. But it's so true.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm also the type of person that's like, I really don't like being in rooms where the conversation is trash talking.
Yeah.
So if I have to be privy to someone even talking down about someone that I know, usually it's a very easy rebuttal. They must have been having an off day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're usually X, Y, and Z.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to feed into it, but I don't have to fight for you either.
Right.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
I know who I hang out with.
Right.
I know who I spend time with.
Right.
At this point, at this stage in my life, I don't play with who I spend time with.
Yeah.
And I'm investing more in spending time with people that have shown themselves to be quality people
well
before I ever gave them the title of friend.
Yeah.
So if you think you have an issue with my friend that I put in work and time with, ma'am, it's just an off day.
Yeah.
You caught them at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Give them another shot. Go back around.
There's nobody that can be like, and just using you for an example, though, that can come to me and be like, Vina is so mean or Vina is so this. I'm like, which Vina? Which Vina are you talking about?
Spell that.
Not my Vina.
You know, that.
I feel like, and hey, your experience, and maybe that's something you need to talk through. But I feel like for me, no one can convince me. Like, once I'm a, like, I have you as like a solid friend, there's no one that can convince me otherwise about you, you know,
yeah.
or any of my friends. Like, you know, and they know, like, no one could come to me and be like, oh, so-and-so's this or so. No, not my friend. You must got the wrong one.
And if that's the case, I'm gonna need some video evidence.
Right. And then I'm still gonna hold their back, like, have their back and be like, we could talk about it. I'll set up a mediation day or something, but we gonna talk about it.
I think that's also, like, such an interesting perspective to even be your friend when you're not doing so good, when you're not behaving well.
Yeah,
because there are definitely times where I have looked at some of my friends left, like, that's the decision we're making. Is that the decision we're making? Oh my god, please do not do this.
Yeah,
wait, that's the decision we're making. Okay.
Yeah.
And smile and through it, like, this is your life lesson to learn.
Yeah,
but I'm only gonna give you this much judgment, this much, like, coaching of, like, hey, I want to warn you because I'm going to be a good friend and warn you.
Yeah.
But if you still make this choice, I'll still be a good friend. And I'll still sit next to you when this blows up or when things don't go the way you think they will.
Yeah.
Or if everything works out fine and I was just hyper, hyper nervous for you.
Yeah.
All of that being said, I'm still going to be your friend. And I like that approach as well, because it's like, you'll still defend me and be like, girl, were you tripping on so-and-so the other day? Like,
right.
Oh, yeah, they might have caught me left. You might need to talk to them, okay? Yeah. I definitely spoke up for you.
Yeah.
You might need to go handle that. Okay, got it. And so that's
and
part
holding
of it.
Each other accountable, right?
Yes.
Like, maybe you were a little mean. Like, you know, my friends call me out all the time, like, Darcelle. Maybe you were, because I do have a very strong personality. I know this about myself. I had to grow to know this. I didn't really, wasn't cognizant of it, but I know that I could be very passionate. Mm. And so it comes off very, I don't know, bossy or whatever. And it's interesting how that can be received.
Yeah.
So one, my friends just know my personality and they're like, oh, okay, cool. But other people may not take it that way. So they're like, maybe you did come off a little.
Yeah. Little. It's like, they don't know you well enough to know
right.
that's just you.
And when, I have a good heart. It's just, you know, I'm a little strong with it.
And
you
they brought up the right topic.
Right.
It could just be that thing.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, blame it on the Caribbean side.
Maybe
which is both.
Blame it on the Puerto Rican side. I don't know, but I can definitely do that. And I'll usually catch myself and be like, mm-hmm. I know I'm on my soapbox right now. I'm so sorry, but, like, not that.
Right.
Just not that.
Right. Or you could blame it on Philly. Like, I was born and raised in Philly, so we talk a little strong, you know.
Hilarious.
No chaser, you know. So, but... what would you say, to close out this episode, what would be some advice that you can give to someone who is maybe closed off to have had friend hurt, right? Who has had to let someone go and they're like, ooh, I don't know if I could trust somebody again because they've experienced someone maybe who wasn't so solid. What would you say to that? And my second part is, what have you learned as a friend? So you can answer in any form or way you want.
The one piece of advice I would give is always more grace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in the, like, oh, just forgive them and let them back in your life. Not necessarily.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe that's what's called for. But a lot of times it's like, even if someone's walked out of my life or something, I forgive them for the actions they took, and then I have to forgive myself for either things that I missed, things that I refused to see and was living in denial with. I have to forgive myself for, you know, maybe some of the things that I said and the way I felt afterwards, because, you know, you get your heart broken or you're hurt and, forget people, and you just want to kind of push everything aside. That's still not a good way to be.
Yeah.
You are now putting that baggage of that one friendship on anything that comes in the future.
Yeah.
So I would always say a bit of grace and definitely taking time to really weed through and forgive.
Yeah.
And part two of the question?
What have you learned as a friend?
Ah, okay. I think as a friend, yeah. As a friend, I've learned to be a better friend to myself. I think I personally, and probably a few other people, just in general, have experienced not necessarily being the person that is cared for. And that can be in friendships and family. And when you are not the person that is cared for as much as you are doing the caring, you tend to put yourself out of balance. And I could still be a better friend to myself, but I'm getting better at advocating for myself.
Yeah.
One thing I know that I do in every space is I tend to advocate for everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I want an advocate for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you can't talk about that person that badly. You can't treat them any sort of way. You can't go down the rabbit hole and leave that person alone.
Yeah.
Because I want that for me.
Yeah.
And so if I learn to step up for myself that way more, just little by little, year after year, I'm like, no, I'm going to advocate for myself a little bit in this space.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you run me over. Mm-hmm. And that carries even into my workspace where someone is deciding that they're just going to go all out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, you know, softly, with permissions, checks and balances, I'm going to advocate for myself here.
Yeah.
I know who I am in this moment, in this time, in this space.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I won't let you dictate who I am to me. The same way I would not let you dictate to my friend who they are.
Yeah.
So forgiveness, especially for self and for others, add in a little extra grace as you're moving forward with new people.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't think you're being a good friend in any way, shape, or form, start learning to be a good friend to yourself.
Ooh.
And if you're like, oh, well, someone said that I'm bossy. Are you bossy to yourself?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Sometimes you are.
I might be.
I'm bossy to myself.
I'm very hard on myself.
Very hard on myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to hold you to this crazy standard because I have an even crazier standard for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I need to give myself more grace.
Yeah.
So that way I can give others more grace. Use it more as a mirror. Your friendships are supposed to be reflections of who you are and how you are. That's where that accountability comes in. So, it sounded like a lot of advice, but
that's all good advice though. Good gems. I think I agree with you on all of the things that you shared. If I could give an addition to on what you shared, as far as being a friend, what have I learned? It's okay that you don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that my friends were only people that agreed with me or that I agreed with them all the time. I had to learn the art of a healthy disagreement.
Yeah.
And I have friends that you can throw out a topic and we all have very different opinions.
Yep.
And we still will disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll still laugh and we'll still hug each other and say, I love you. See you next time. Like, I think learning that, you know, friendships may not always agree. And that's where you give the forgiveness. That's where you give the grace. And that's where it's okay for people to have their own opinion. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think exactly the same because you're friends. And I think another thing about being a friend is the accountability, learning to hold each other accountable. And want and be surround yourself with people who want to see you do better.
Yeah.
Not people who want your life, because that's something else. People who want to see you do better.
Yeah.
Because they should always be clapping for you and wanting you to win and not wanting you to win based on is it going to give them an entry point to something else, right? They genuinely see the value in you winning and you, and whether they're in the audience or on the stage with you, they see value in you. And so having people that clap for you, you know, and I think that's really, really important.
Mm.
And know that friends, you don't have to stay loyal just because you've known that friend for 20 years. If that friend is no longer a friend, it's okay to say goodbye. It's a hurtful goodbye, but it's a goodbye. And because you may have outgrown each other, and maybe the only thing you had in common was what happened in high school or what happened when you were in your early 20s or whatever, it's okay to say, we no longer are on the same journey, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I had to learn a lot of those lessons. And yeah, so I hope that everybody got something from talking about solid friendships, talking about what it means to be a friend, what it means to be a friend to yourself. I think that is so, so important. And then just even if you only have two or three solid friends or just one, that's all you need. You don't need a gang of people, right? You just need real people in your life. And when you do have them and you do find them, hold on to them for dear life and treat them well. So I want to say thank you to Bina for joining me for this episode. Where can they find your podcast, find you, tell the mogul fam?
Definitely you can find me at Tequila in Your Tea, and that is Tequila in Your Tea.
In Your Tea.
And yeah, that's at all of our socials. You can find us on YouTube. Of course, we are also on Spotify for podcasters. Mm-hmm. And we're also on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. And yeah, we're about to come out with season 2.
Yay, yay.
So super, super exciting. And I'm just so happy that I could be here. I feel like I've mentioned this probably when we were discussing all this planning. But this is full circle for me.
Yeah.
You had Mogul Talk running way longer than I had Tequila in Your Tea as an idea. And I remember when I was first getting started setting up, deciding on whether I should do this podcast, you were the first person I called. You're the first person to give me advice.
Yeah.
And to now be sitting here on Mogul Talk with you is just an amazing full circle moment. So Thank you.
And I'm like happy to see just everything that even like how your podcast, all the topics that you cover. So please make sure you subscribe. I'm happy to see how you've grown as a host, how the production that you do, like you're also inspiring me on my podcast to be like, yes, okay,
come to YouTube, come, like, come to YouTube.
I'm like, okay, Bina, I like that idea. I'm gonna need to try to do that too. So I think it's great that we get to iron sharpens iron and we get to bounce ideas off each other. So yeah. I'm so grateful. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Mogul fam. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and make sure that you subscribe and listen to the next episode. And until then, peace. Now, don't forget to click the subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. I'll be bringing you a new episode every week. Also, don't forget to follow your host, your girl, Darcell Laurie, on IG at Darcell World. And of course, you know I love hearing from you, so make sure that you send all your questions, topics, even guests that you would love to hear from at mogultalkpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Mogul Talk with Darcell Laurie, where success is just a byproduct of who we are. Make sure to join us next week for another great episode. Until then, continue to talk and live like a mogul.